Bibles. Let's give God glory for his word, and children are free to go to children's church. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in your righteousness. Amen. I forgot a word. Sorry about that. Been a couple of weeks. Give me a break. With the same Bible that you just raised, would you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We are going to begin a series called Why Be Equipped. We talk about equipping the saints. It is our vision. And we're going to read that vision statement in a second, the verse that our vision is based on. And we do a lot of pouring out to equip. And again, just to be honest with the body, most of you know, those that get equipped are the ones that are leaning in. You know, Bible talks about don't cast your pearls before swine, and I'm not calling anyone a swine here, but I'm saying is our time, whether it's myself, my wife, or the different leadership in the different areas of ministry here, what we've come to realize is rather than waste energy, see who's leaning in and pouring into them because they are ready to receive. Not everybody's at that place they're ready to receive or want to. We pray that everyone gets to that place. That's our heart's desire. But this is what we do. But the question becomes, why be equipped? What is the purpose of being equipped? And reading Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we equip for the purpose of the work of the ministry, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ till everybody has come to the full measure in their faith of Jesus Christ. But in this series, I want to look at a little deeper why we need to be equipped. And I want to kind of lay the foundation today. And this is all going to be based, for the most part, out of the book of Ephesians. So Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says this. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. He's talking about those who've accepted Christ as their Savior. Those who have made a commitment, even though they may not know it all, they may not get it all yet. And God knows, none of us know it all. And have it all. We're all in the growing process along this journey. But he said, those who have leaned in, those who have accepted my Son as their Savior and are learning every day to walk with him and give him authority in new areas of life every day, new ways of thinking every day, to slowly submit those areas of our lives to him every day. Learning how to walk with him, making him Lord over different aspects of our lives. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. And this is where I want to focus on today. That membership has its privileges. Being a member in the households of God has its privileges in this area. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, what privileges does my membership in the family of God give me? Well, I want to look at four of them based on 2 Corinthians 2:19. First one, apostolic tradition. What does that mean? The legacy left behind by the apostles. Look what he says. Paul writes, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What did the apostles and the prophets found? What was their foundation that they laid? Think about that for a second. Well, they decided to be unified in the Spirit. They made the choice when they learned that in Acts 2, when they were unified, the presence of God fell. So one of their, if we want to talk about foundational statements, was we need to be in unity with the Lord and Holy Spirit. So they laid a foundation of unity. We read in the book of Acts how they, everyone come together, they ate together, they broke bread together, they prayed together, they gave each other whatever they may have, so nobody was ever in want. There was unity among the apostles and those whom they served with. But even more so, something special, they learned to be open to the Holy Spirit. They recognized to pursue the God of heart, the heart of God, and to tap into what God is choosing to do in heaven and bring it to earth. They learned to pray and seek, Lord, what are you doing right now? How do we handle this right now? What is going on right now? What is your heart for this? What have you already established so we can line ourselves up with and do? This is the foundation they laid. And what we read in the book of Acts and we read throughout Scripture, nothing broke that foundation. Every time they come together, they took it to prayer. The few times where there was not 100% unity, what did they do? You had, you know, Paul, who wasn't crazy about John Mark at one point, going with him on a journey. They prayed, and what happened? John Mark went with Barnabas, and Paul took Silas. But there was agreement. There was constant agreement. There was constant seeking what the heart of God is, because God's heart was that John Mark needed to grow, because we get the book of Mark from John Mark. He needed to grow. But they found out it wasn't the Lord's heart for him to go with Paul. So they sent him with the person God created that was perfect for him, which was Barnabas, a nurturer, which means nurturing. So God set it up perfectly. But the only way to do that and not say, we're done with you, John Mark, get out, was to know the heart of God, to be able to see the hand of God on those God is ministering to and touching and speaking into their lives. And you look at the prophetic, the apostles, they established us. They laid that foundation of how to move in the things of God the right way. For those that were here that back in about 3 or 4 years ago, you remember, we were doing a verse-by-verse study on a Wednesday night through the book of Acts. And about, you know, 3 Wednesdays in, some of us started scratching our heads going, you know what? There's something wrong here. We, not just Bayshore Christian Fellowship, the church, but we as a church, there's just something off. We're not the vision of the church that God had established through the apostles. We're missing something. And yes, it was a different time, it was a different place, and there were some things we can't necessarily replicate. But we need to line our hearts up and do the things God's way, not our way, not the cookie-cutter way of doing church. But Lord, we want to know your heart and your vision for us, and let's line us up with that. Not saying anyone's right or anyone's wrong, but this is right or wrong for us. We needed to be right or in right standing with God on this. And the apostles laid that foundation. They left a legacy. They passed this on to us. And what do we see? We see Paul telling Timothy, don't forget the gifts that were imparted on you when you were ordained, when you laid hands and prayed over you and you were ordained to be a pastor. So you were blessed and imparted on with the gifts of the prophetic, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget them. Use them and then pass them along. This is the legacy they laid down to us. That's why one of the things we kind of say is there's no junior Holy Spirit. A 5-year-old can move in the power of the Holy Spirit as much as an 85-year-old could, and anyone in between. But it's being in tune with the heart of God helps us to recognize these things on those individuals. And that's what we need to do. They left that legacy for us. Paul showed up, or Peter would show up somewhere where they were baptized in water and says, great, you've been baptized in water and you are saved and you're welcome in the family of God. But now we want you to take your authority in the family of God. You're no longer a servant, but you're a son and a daughter of the living King. And let's take authority as managers, supervisors, as leaders in the family business. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Let's lay hands and pray over you. Or let's just pray right now. They laid that foundation for us. And this is what we need to pass on. Not for any other reason, but to strengthen the individual. Because you know this. We are as strong as our weakest link. And this is for anything. In this church, we, the body of Christ, are called to be mighty. We are called into the victory of Christ to win the everyday battle. See, it's not the major wars alone that will give us the victory, but the everyday battles that build us up to give us the strength to win the war. It's the battle of the mind every day. It's the battle of saying, I'm not putting up with this, so in the name of Jesus, I declare His blood over this. And this, or just standing up for the things of God in His way. Never separate, as we go through this, the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is a big thing for us. The fruit of love, joy, peace, kindness, all those things go hand in hand with the fruit. With the gifts, because the gifts are meant to work with the fruit. You express the heart of God by applying the gifts with the heart of God, which are His fruit. So you use that. So this foundation was laid by the apostles. So we have that family legacy within our membership. Second thing is we got patriarchal support. We have God the Father, but look who's our perfect example. Paul writes here, Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, there's a couple of ways to look at this. The cornerstone is usually the very first thing or one of the first things laid on a foundation, and it's usually the bigger stone because everything else is built on it. Now, when I was in the Middle East a few years ago, and they took me to an old structure, and it was built in biblical times, our tour guides told me, look at that first floor, where there's a ceiling, look at that cornerstone in the ceiling, and that's what sometimes is referred to as a cornerstone, because the next levels are built on that. So it could be the foundation, but it also could be the stone that strengthens the rest of the foundation, but also keeps the foundation intact, solidifies it. Because you know when you screw in a box, if every corner is not tight, it's going to wiggle. To make it more sense to us here today, when you lay down a floor, whether it's linoleum, ceramic, stone, it doesn't matter. You don't start from the sides. You start from the middle. You take that first tile And you measure it and you put it firmly square in the middle because everything else is built out from it. It becomes the chief tile. So we have a patriarchal example in Christ where he became the chief cornerstone, the beginning of everything, where everything was fitted around and sprang up from. It is he who sets the standard. It is he who begins it. Christ is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and our foundation as our cornerstone today. They got it from him. Remember, it was Christ who said to them, go wait on high, and I will have the Father send the Holy Spirit. And then he said to them, I'm going to impart on you my Spirit. And when he was in the upper room, he went around each one of them and blew in their face, reflecting the giving of the Holy Spirit. He is our chief cause. He's the one who endows us with this power, the ability to do these things and to move in these things. He holds it all together. So membership has the privilege of having a strong patriarch in Christ Jesus as the foundation of everything we do. And let me tell you, when we stick to what Christ is doing, we're not going to go wrong. When we do it his way, we can't go wrong. Oh, it may look wrong to everybody else, but it can't go wrong. Because God will work things out for the good for all those that trust in Christ Jesus. He works it out. He puts it all together. He solidifies it. He holds it tight. Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know what I love about this? And as I was studying this verse this week, one of the references about what spiritual blessings were, it was spiritual blessings refers to divine privileges. Think about that. It is divine privilege. It's a privilege reserved for family members. It is a special privilege. And not just privileges, but resources available now. That I have access to these divine privileges and resources right now or at any given time. He's given me the key to unlock the door where all those things are there. And that's in him, in Christ Jesus. So I can access him and the things that he has for me that are really his at any given time, whenever it is called for. They're available now to those that are chosen and adopted and forgiven. But here's the cool thing too. Spiritual blessings, in our English translation, it's plural, right? Spiritual blessings with an S. In the actual Greek, it's actually singular. That means it's a complete package. It's not, well, I get this blessing, but I'm not going to get that one. I have this available to me, but I don't have that one. It's the same thing as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not fruits, individual fruits. It's one fruit, and all those things are elements of the one fruit. So it's singular. So as a member, as a child of God, as a son of the living King, as a daughter of the living King, I have access to this. And it's a complete package. I don't have to chase after it. It's there for me. The Lord's already given it to me. I just have to receive it, accept it, move in it. Spiritual is also the same word used in 1 Corinthians 21:1, referring to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, evidencing that they are among us as blessings now, as among the blessings. And see, here's what's cool. 1 Corinthians, the word for the gifts of the Holy Spirit is charisma, which we get the word charismatic, which means grace gifts or gifts of grace. The word charisma means gifts of grace. So John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you at your remembrance all that I have said. So he will bring all these things out to you, and he will send them to you. But I'm giving you these gifts of grace. See, again, we don't earn them. They're part of our adoption papers. They come with it. I've been adopted into the household of God in faith. Jesus signed the adoption letter in his blood on the cross. And then told me to take off those rags that I've been wearing as an orphan in spirit. And he clothed me in righteousness and gave me the keys to his kingdom, keys to his home, and says, everything in here is yours. Nothing is off limits. You're welcome to come into my bedroom, into my throne room, into wherever I am. Nothing is off limits to you. You're no longer a guest. You are a member of my family. You've been purchased in blood. You are covered by my blood. Therefore, you are of my blood. And everything that comes along with that, it's a gift of my grace. Third thing is you get family support. Everything good happens when we are in one accord. And that's been a statement that's been on my heart for about a month and a half now. Just that realization that whenever we're in one accord, nothing but good can happen. And when a family is strong and unified, amazing things can take place. And look what he says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So we're getting equipped. We're getting trained in the family business so that the whole thing, all of us are growing and finding our place to grow together around this cornerstone, this chief cornerstone. Everything sprungs out from it, from him. We are all part of the same holy temple referred to here, being built to establish the kingdom of God on earth. In other words, every one of us has their place. Every one of us has been given something to achieve, to use, and has the access to whatever tools needed to do this, but they have to make the choice to do this. They have to place themselves in that position to receive and to do this. See, God shows up when we are unified and moving in the same direction. And progress takes place. The kingdom is advanced. We're not maintaining the kingdom. See, most Christians, most churches are satisfied with maintaining the way things are. But Jesus never said, let's just go out in the wilderness, establish a commune, and stay there and maintain that commune. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Go everywhere, and I'm giving you the tools to be able to, even language that you don't know how to speak, I will give you to speak. And that's still happening today. To do this, to progress, we begin to reflect heaven and bring heaven to earth. See, in whom the whole building fitted together. And what happens when we are moving this way, the brick is not jealous of the mortar. The window is not jealous of the door. The roof is not upset with the ceiling. We recognize where we fit in. And we make that a stronghold for the kingdom of God. That God, I will give you the very best that I can give you right now where you have me with what you've given me, what I have access to. I will be the very best I can be. I am not holding anything back. I'm going to do my part to do this. Because the whole thing, building, being fitted together, grows into the holy temple of God. And where does God dwell? In his temple. Where is his temple? right here. How? Imagine if this inside of me joins with thousands of others who are growing this thing inside of them, how strong the holy temple of God is. Because see, the holy temple represents where the dwelling place of God. And it's where He dwells. That's why it's so important that we as a family, we don't do anything without Him showing up. We don't stop worshiping to get into His presence till His presence is here. And then we don't stop till He's finished doing what He wanted to do during that specific time. When we come together to meet, we don't do church. We are the church, and we press into His heart till we know His presence is there and the work is done in that hour, in that moment, with what He's given us to do. We are growing together. We build together. We find way to strengthen one another. So this holy temple grows. We have family support here. We support each other to grow. We encourage each other. Some of it might be rebuking in love. Again, love is a key here. God is love. Christ is our foundation. Everything Christ did was based on love. The love of the heart of the Father. Whether it's correcting, rebuking, admonishing, encouraging, teaching, edifying, imparting, whatever it might be, it's done in love. In the spirit of love. So that we can grow together to encourage, not discourage. And the fourth thing, the family legacy continues. In whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in spirit. Dwelling place of God in spirit. What does that mean? It means we get into this holy temple. We get this in a place where we're ready to receive, where His presence is welcome, where we are in one accord, just like the 120 in the upper room. For the Spirit of God to come, for His presence to be revealed. But within His presence, His purpose is released. So we get into His presence not to feel good, not for an emotional high, but we're saying, okay, Lord, You showed up. What are You doing? What do You want to do today? What are You doing right now? What are You doing in my office at work right now? What are You doing in my home right now? What are You doing with me right now in the car as I'm worshiping You and I feel Your presence here? Who are You laying on my heart? And we're going to get into things like words of knowledge and things of the prophetic in messages to come. But what are You doing right now? Your presence for Your purpose. What are You doing? What do You want me to do? And here's the thing, too. When He shows up, the atmosphere changes. A building no longer becomes a structure in four walls, but it becomes a dwelling place of God. And it becomes a place of healing that God wants to do. It becomes a sanctuary of training for God to build up things. It becomes a place where heaven is revealed through the prophetic. It becomes a place where the work of the kingdom begins to be advanced and people are touched in a deeper level and make commitments to press deeper and become hungrier. They've tasted and seen that God is good and now they want more and I want more and I want more and I want more. Because God shows up and this is what it feels like and this is what happens when God shows up. We don't have a nice service. We don't have a nice Bible study. We don't have a nice coffee time. We have a time, a fellowship in its truest essence because fellowship biblically means coming together with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not just let's get together and have coffee or eat food together. the legacy or the foundation that the apostles laid and the prophets laid. When they fellowshiped, everything was in His Spirit. They broke bread, giving thanks in His Spirit for His presence there, for what the work He's doing there. That's true fellowship. The atmosphere changes when His presence is around. When He shows up, things are not what they were once before. And that's what we're looking for. We want God to come and just grab our hearts and do amazing things with them. Grab our minds and renew them with His words and the things that have been attacking us. We become agents of change in His presence. Because then as He's releasing His presence into our midst and we're being touched, we grow and we take what we're learning, what we've touched in, and we do something with it. Somebody could have been here today, maybe anyone here today, as you were worshiping, as His presence entered this place, God laid a person on your heart you weren't thinking about or on your mind. You're going, why did I think about this person? That's an impression the Holy Spirit just gave you that you need to be praying for that person. Or if you're not sure what to do, ask Him. That's what happens when His presence shows up. Maybe you were feeling something you weren't feeling before. Maybe you came here stressed out and anxious, and then in His presence, His peace overwhelmed you. Well, you don't just come to church for that. You carry His presence with you. You come to church to come to this place to be encouraged and charged up and learn how to carry His presence. So you can take Him with you so that same peace can be where you are, wherever you may be. Becomes a dwelling place of God. This is an amazing thing that we have. Because not everyone has this. But it's available to all of us. Ephesians 3:10-12 says this. And this is what happens when we're in His presence and we're moving because He has place to dwell. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose with which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Christ. Taking the latter and first, we already talked about this, that these grace gifts was given to us. We have full access to it. But I love the first part. In His presence, as members in His family, guess what we can do? In His wisdom, the things that He has given to us, His revelation that He imparts on us, that He gives us, the wisdom of God might be made known by who? Who's it made known by? Somebody talk to me, please. So, who's it made known by? Church. Read up. It's up there. The church. Who's the church? You, me. We are the church. So we are to make known the revelation that God gives us. In other words, keep it simple. What God shows us, tells us, we're supposed to tell it, do something with it. But what do we do with it here? Made known by us, the church, to who? Principalities and powers in heavenly places. He's referring to the demonic here. He's referring to demons and the things that spirits that come against us. So we as the church, as God in His presence, reveals to us these amazing things as being sons and daughters that hear from the mouth and heart of their heavenly Father. As we sit around the table, His table, eating and dining from the food that He has prepared for us, and we're having table talk, and He's revealing these things and telling us these truths, we can now turn around, and when a lie comes into our head that that the enemy's trying to put, that we're no good, we're not worthy, we're whatever, we can tell them where they can go because we know what God's revealed to us about us already. Because he's already told us who we are. He's already told us what we can do. He's already telling us what we have access to. He's even showing us how to use what we have access to. So we can tell those things that say, come against, say, you can't. Oh, yes, I can, because I know who my daddy is. And my dad said I can do it, so guess what? I can do it. So I'm telling you, get thee behind me, Satan. So I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I release his peace over my anxiety. By the blood of the Lamb, I am righteous because I am clothed in his righteousness, and the guilt and the things of my past that you keep trying to remind me of, shut your mouth. Jesus washed them away. Because I'm a member of his family. I'm no longer an orphan. We have the authority and the right to tell them off. It's simple to tell them off. Because he's already told us these things when we've gathered with him and have sat with him and heard him. These are the things that God reveals to his church. I love this verse because if you don't really glance at it and read it, you can just glance right by it and you don't realize the power that is in that verse that's been declared. That you and I, the creation of God, who are covered by the blood of and the love of God in Christ Jesus, who've been given in the power of the Holy Spirit, these wonderful grace gifts, can move fully against anything that comes in the way of his purpose for us. Anything. There's nothing that we can't accomplish, that he's told us to accomplish because of what he's allowed for and what he's told us. Nothing can come against us. This is what Jesus started, right? Jesus did that. When he was tempted in the wilderness, he did that. He told Satan off. And we pass this on to the next generation, just like the apostles and the prophets passed it on to us. And now we continue to pass it on. This is what we can do. This is why membership in the family of God has its privileges. It's an awesome thing. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion today. But you may be sitting here and you're not yet a member of the family of God. Guess what? Your adoption papers are ready right now. They've already been signed by Jesus. Just need you to say yes. I'd like you right now just to close your eyes. Just get into a position where you're letting the Holy Spirit just speak to you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, nobody looking around, please, just this is you and God, and you want to accept him for the first time today and say yes to those adoption papers, would you just raise your hand if you've never done that before? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you right now. And we just ask that you just bless right now. Right now, the one who's just opened their heart to Jesus. Ask that you bless. And thank you that the family's grown. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have blessed every single one of us with the touch of your love this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers to come on up. You family members.